Okay.
My fault.
Small omelet. Okay. Good morning, Rabbi Isai. So I was told that yesterday you completed the second Mishnah on Dafin Vav Amud Aleph, and maybe the first line of the Gemara. So maybe it would be Kedai to start from the Mishnah, the second Mishnah on Vav Amud Aleph. Okay, says the Mishnah. Hanoider min hamita. So if somebody makes a nether, prohibiting themselves from having any benefit from a bed. Mutar bedargish. So a dargish, though, is permitted to derive benefit from. A dargish is considered being different than a mito. We'll see in the Gemara what a dargish is, divir meir. The chachamim maintain dargish is b'chal mito. This entity called a dargish is included in the category of a mito, and thus if somebody prohibits themselves from deriving benefit from a bed, would not be allowed to derive benefit from a dargish as well. But somebody makes a nether, prohibiting themselves from having benefit from a dargish, a mita is not included in that, and it would seem that even the chachamim agree to that. In other words, that a mita, according to the chachamim, is a more expansive term and category, and that includes dargish as well. As we know in Nedarim, you look at loshem b'nei yadam. So when people say a mita, they refer to a dargish also. But if somebody uses the more specific term of a dargish, that even according to the chachamim does not include a mita. So my dargish, Omer Ula, what is a dargish? Ula says, Arso de Gada. So it's the bed which they would set up, the Mefarish says, Lamazel. It's not a bed that they would actually use, but they would set it up for good luck. The Ran as well explains that Arso de Gada refers to a bed that they would arrange, set up for Mazel Habayis.
Is it bed?
What? It's a bed, a cradle, you know, I mean, it's something that you would lie on. So Goda is actually, Goda refers to mazel, to luck. The problem we hear from the Mefarshim Shtel on is that Goda, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that people who set up a bed, ha'orchem lagar sholchan, are over on an iser of chukusem lefelecho. And this is brought la halacha and the Ramon Yerodeh simen kufayin ches, l'chos chukus hagom. The Ramon says, if you set up a table for good luck, and you put food on it, you don't need it, you just set it up there in your house for good mazel, that's osur, because of chukos ha'akum, and the source for that is a pasuk which says, Orchem lagar shulchan, God was an avodah zarah, and they would set up, for superstitious reasons, purposes, they'd set up this table. So the Ramah says that's osur. However, says the Ramah, but if you set up a bed that you don't lie on the night before a bris milah, so that's okay. So, first I'm trying to understand what's the difference. The Gemara over here references this term Goda, which refers to an Avodah Zarah. Why is that mutter? It seems like some suggest the Gemara is coming from this Gemara. The Gemara over here seems to suggest that if you're setting it up for a bed you're setting up is okay. A table is a problem because a table is referenced specifically and explicitly in the pasuk. Ha'orchem lagar shulchan, those that arrange a table for God, but a bed is not mentioned, so that's okay. That's okay. What's that?
Here is in part a problem of translation. The term
pita
and the term
dargish
and several others do not mean that.
What
is table? Table is an English word.
Yeah.
Bed is an English word.
No, shulchan, I said, means table.
I know. Yeah. To be fair, it's saying, we don't generally keep our silver pots and pans in our beds. At least, certainly, I don't.
No, so it doesn't say you put your silver pots and pans.
Yeah, for instance, there is a table.
Right. We use our furniture a bit differently, that's true.
So,
but I just pointed, the Rishonim do use the word mita. I don't have any better English translation for the word mita than bed.
That's exactly the point. You don't have a term of translation.
Okay.
Mita is definitely a general term.
Yeah. Okay, I guess we can only do our best as far as finding English term. So the Rosh over here says a little bit of a different explanation than the Mefarish and the Ran, and the Rosh says that if you set up this table,
you do the
Rosh. I forgot him. You do the Rosh inside.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, fine. So take a look. It says the Rosh. Arsa de Godo, mitahu asuy lamazel habayis kediisa b'shabes. It was a bed that was set up for good luck for the house. As the Gemara in Shabbos says, God gadi v'sinok loy kisorod atiruso notir shemei. So they would set up a bed that they wouldn't use, because that bed wouldn't invite the sorod atiruso, the malach who was appointed over wealth, into your home. Okay? Umotze bivayis hashomer moisei ben akiyas. Rabbi, a school for ashirus, it's a rosh and a dorm, is to have a clean house. Rosh and rosh. People who keep their homes clean, that would invite the malach appointed over ashirus into your home, and that will lead them to getting wealthy.
You know, the,
next time your wife...
Yeah, good marketing for the maids.
For the maids. I was going to say it's good marketing for Shalom Bayis. If your Rebbetzin wants you to clean the house, don't put up such a fuss. Good for you. Okay. L'kach mechina... No, it just says, Hashomer Moshev in the Kiyas. Those not many, that made sure of it. L'kach mechinim tomin mita mutzas in the Kiyas. So the Rosh is mashma even more of a chiddush, which is that you would think, okay, so if in order to have this malach come into your house, you have to keep a clean house. It sounds mashma from the Rosh a little bit that all you need is something just like symbolic of keeping a clean house. You can have the rest of your house a mess, have one bed that's made nicely, that's just showing you nug. As long as you have one bed which is made properly, not, doesn't have to be the bed you sleep in, the one that you don't use, of course, that alone is enough, suffices to invite this malach who's appointed over Ashurus into your house. So the Sefer Hasidim writes, so this Rosh is a little bit different than the Mefarish and the Ran, but the Sefer Hasidim writes something along the lines that are similar to this, and the Sefer Hasidim explains that this is not a question of nichosh. In other words, that's what we started off with, a question. Why is this not nichosh? The Ramah in Yoredeh Kofayin Ches implies that there's something wrong with setting up a table, a piece of furniture for mazel. So l'chor, this should be included. The Ramah differentiates between a bed and a table. I understand, but in Svara, what's the distinction? So, but the Sefer Chassidim explains, he addresses this question, and he says, because this is, it's yodua, that this mazel exists, everybody knows about it, it's a dover borer, so no nichosh. Implying that nichosh is a problem where the concept behind the nichosh is something superstitious. We're not really assured if it exists or not. Ask Robert F. Kennedy. You know, he might have some theory behind it. But something which is yadua that we know exists, so that's not nichosh. It's for posha that this mazel exists, and when you set up a bed, it takes care of it. No issues of nichosh. Okay, says the Gemara. Omer li Rabbanu Ulo. The Rabbanu said to Ulo. So we have a Mishnah in Sanhedrin which talks about when a Kohen Gadol or a Melech, I believe at the time of the Kohen Gadol, when the Kohen Gadol would sit Shiva, so how exactly did we conduct ourselves? How were we Menachem, the Kohen Gadol, when he sat Shiva? The Tanakh Kishein Mavra Noisai. So when they would provide for the Kohen Gadol, who was sitting Shiva, the first meal that a person has to eat, when the person eats after the burial of the nifter, so the halacha is that it has to be provided by other people. The avil is not allowed to eat the first seuda that he has of his avelos when he's of his own food. So kishen mavin osa kol ha'am.
What did you say?
What did I said? I said yeah. It's, I don't remember the mishnah so vizir. No, sorry. The Rosh says kishen mavin osa gabi koyin gadol, and they change it to melech. Maybe I saw the koyin gadol in the Rosh. The Rosh says kishen mavin osa gabi koyin gadol, tzarech lomer melech misnaya. The Mishnah is over there in Perek Koyin Gadol, in the second Perek of Sanhedrin, discuss all the halachas of Koyin Gadol and a melech. So I forgot which one that Mishnah was referring to. Kishu avilu machilu masesudu rishoina kol am mavin osa. So what would they do? Kol am mesuben al haaretz. So as opposed to normal situation of somebody who's an avelos, when the avil sits on the ground and the menachem come, they sit on chairs or whatever normal furniture. Here, the people would sit on the ground. The hu mesev al hadargush, and he would sit on the dargush. So the Gemara asks, you just told me that a dargush is something that you never really would use. So it's very, very strange then. So specifically during avelos, kula shosel yosef Allah, hahu yoyma yosef Allah. You're telling me that this is a piece of furniture which you never sit on, and all of a sudden during avelos you sit on. That's a very strange thing. It's a mashma from this Mishnah that the dargish was a piece of furniture that people would normally sit on. So, we see from over here, there seems to be a halacha that normally when somebody's in the veil, he has to sit on the ground. Or at least something that he normally wouldn't sit on. That's the hanocha, the assumption of the Gemara's question. It's not the staber. Normally, when somebody's in avelos, so you sit on the ground. The Kohen Gadol also, or the Melech rather, so Chazal gave him an exception. He could sit on a regular piece of furniture. And that's the Gemara's question. Well, if it's a regular piece of furniture, then Dargish can't be what you said it was. You said a Dargish, something that you don't normally sit on. But normally, see, the halacha, you sit on the ground. What? So that's what I'm saying. It's interesting. You know, it's mashed from the Gemara that the Gemara's assumption or question was that for the Melech, he would sit on something normal, something that he normally would sit on. He wouldn't have to do something different. Everybody else does. And for everybody else, it would be a la karka. So it's a little bit of a tzarachi. It's not the minhag that we have today, that when somebody's in a veil, if they sit on a chair that's, you know, 3 tefachim high, whatever it is, not so clear in halacha what the makor for that is. I mean, I shouldn't say that. The Aruch HaShulchan talks about other poskim, but from the yisoidus of the sig and the Gemara, we'll see that there's really two halachas in avelos. One is, well, we'll see, but the kifas hamita, the Gemara is going to discuss that in a second. So Masi for Ravina, so Ravina says, what kind of question is that? We find that you do things in avelos that you don't do all year round. Masi for Ravina, midi to have a basar v'yayin. How is this different than meat and wine? The kula shas that you buy yochel, that you buy lo yochel. That the rest of the year, the melech wants to have meat, he could have it. Doesn't want it, doesn't have to have it. But that day, we give it to him. So the Mefarish explains, because by Ovel, it says specifically, Mishum Dechse V'yayin Lemori Nafesh, that there's an Inyan, a specific concept behind providing an Ovel with wine. That wine is symbolic of many things, but amongst them, Avelos, that somebody who's a Mar Nefesh, as we know in America today, what does a person do when he has problems? He drowns them out with alcohol. So that was already a concept that we had Bizman Chazal. That's a puzzle, like the Yayin Lemori Nafesh. Yayin Lemori Nafesh. So Ravina says, so it's not shver that in Avelos we find we do things differently than we do the rest of the year. So Dargish as well.
Given wine that. Different than the rest of
No, just that the rest of the year he doesn't have to drink wine. By Avelos, there's a concept specifically that we give him wine. By Aninus, a person is not allowed to have wine. We're talking about after the burial of the deceased, when the period of Shiva starts, yeah, specifically give him wine. So Ravina sounds like he's answering, so Dargish could be something along those lines as well. In other words, that by Avelos, even if there's, Ravina sounds like he's being mechadish another din in Avelos. In other words, the Gemara assumed that either you sit on the ground, or you sit on a regular piece of furniture. And Ravina is saying, no, there's no din in Avelos. Even if you're not sitting on the ground, but there's a din of just changing your hanhaga. We find that Avelos is a concept of shinui makom. You sit in a chair in shul. When you go to shul during the Yud Beis Chodesh, you sit on a regular chair like everybody else, but you don't sit in the same place that you sit all year round. You have to move at least Dalat Amos away. So similar over here. He's saying, even if the Melech is not able to do the kind that did of sitting on the ground, but at least there should be a shinoi mitzat his yeshiva. And Ravina's pointing to Yayin as being something that we do differently than all year round as well.
Is Melech today that we...
Is shinoi mokum? Yes. Yeah. Oval wine? No. This is by Melech. There's no halacha that you feed an oval wine.
But tomorrow earlier, where they would bring every wine that you drink with.
Yeah, I mean, just I'm saying la halacha. Now that's not something we do a suda tavra, but there's no, I don't believe there's a halacha that you have to feed another one. Hard boiled eggs we do, yes, because those are simon la'avelos, right?
What is something based on the rush? Let's talk about melech,
opposed to kohen gadol. Yes. Yeah, this mission is referring to that of a melech, correct? I mean, there are similar halachas which apply to kohen gadol as well, but this mission specifically is referring to a melech. So the Gemara says you're about the right. The question we meant to ask is as follows. So Dargish, he wouldn't flip over, turn it upside down. Rather, he would stand it up straight. There's a halacha in Avelos which states that an Avel is required to turn over all the beds in his house. Not flip them upside down. Now, That's halacha. The Gemara Rishonim, we don't do that nowadays, and the Rishonim discuss why. There are certain halachas and avilas that we don't do. Ituf is another halacha and avilas we don't do. Ituf is you have to mamash cover your face up. So we don't do that. You go to somebody's in shiv, he's not sitting there wrapped up like an Arab. So you know, one of the reasons that the Rishonim give why we don't do these halachas and avilas, including kfiyas hamita, is because since we live amongst the goyim come in and out of the house. If they saw us doing that, they would suspect that we are engaging in kishuf and witchcraft, which would could lead to very dangerous situations. So to avoid the goyim questioning us whether we're doing kishuf or not, so that's why we don't do that. Ituf, as well, I believe, is that reason. There is a shach in Avilos who says that for ituf, a person should take their hat, wear their hat over their eyes. Most people don't do that nowadays. Some briskers might do it. I once went to a shiva house where the fellow was sitting with his blind hat down to his nose. I mean, imishum ha, for that alone, I would say, lechar, it's not kedai to do that just because of the laughs and the mockery it would elicit. But listen, you know, some people don't care about that, so. But I'm just saying, in a shiva house, you walk in there, you see it, like you burst out laughing. I don't think that would be the most appropriate reaction to have in a shiva house. So maybe for that alone, it would be kedai not to be machmir on this ituf of the shach. And then another element is that we're not machmir like that. Okay. So the Gemara says, the iyamar the arsa of the godahu. So if you say that this dargash wasn't...
You just put it upright, all the different beds?
Not upright, they flip them over, turn them upside down. Because in the halacha, the mechaber says you sleep on the ground. An oval sleep, that's another halacha we don't do, that an oval sleeps on the ground. According to Mikra, an oval sleeps on the ground all 7 days of Shiva.
That one bed that he sleeps on?
No, all the beds.
All the beds,
yeah. You got to flip them all over. So that's brought down to halacha. Question is, why don't we do it? So this is chashash kishuf. I think the Rosh says another svar because our beds don't lend themselves to kfiya so well. I'm not sure exactly how that works. He says there's a schilik in how the beds in Zman Chazal looked and on our beds. Well, because they would...
Well, there were several different ones. The frame which you put straw on, there were, you know, various things, but it actually is much, much easier to flip the beds.
I'm thinking of our beds. Why can't you flip them over? What's the big deal?
Oh, no. That's much easier to
flip our beds, yeah. Yeah, something we'll discuss that, right. So I don't know, I mean, Rosh must have had a different mitzvah of a bed than we have. Our bed, I think you can very easily flip over, but Lamai says we don't do it. That's familiar. But the Gemara is asking, but Lamai says, Oval does, the Mechaber says, Oval sleeps on the floor. So the question is also, how come we don't do it? Lamai says, Achorinim say, nowadays, we're Dor Cholosh. I mean, I think the Shach already speaks that in his time, you know, we're much weaker today, so we don't engage with that practice because it could negatively impact our health. Okay. I mean, Rav Yitzchak Kolodetsky, Rav Chaim Kanievsky's son-in-law, so since October 7th, he would sleep on the floor to be mishtatef in the tsar of all those. He's not a young man. At a certain point, I think, he wasn't able to do it anymore, so he put a wooden board on his bed, and he sleeps on that.
Yeah. Rav Miller.
Rav Miller did the same thing? Rav
Miller slept. He had a bed which looked completely normal.
Yeah.
He
had a board. Okay, wow, okay. So the Gemara says, the Yamar Darsa the Godahu, if you say that Dargish is an Arsa the Godahu, there's a bed that they would set up but they wouldn't sleep in. The Tanya, we looked at a Braisa, somebody turns his bed over, it doesn't suffice merely to turn over the bed that you sleep on. You turn over all the beds in the home. So if you're telling me that a Dargish means an arsa de gada, so why would you not turn it over? We had a brisa which we just saw, which stated that a dargish they would not turn over, but according to this other brisa, which states that all beds in the home and the house, even the ones that you don't sleep on, you turn over. So why would you not turn over a dargish? Why would you not turn it over? Must be that a dargish is not what you said it was, because if it was this bed that you said it was, there should be a mitzvah kfiyas hamita on the dargish. Even the fact that I don't sleep on it shouldn't make any difference. The brisa that we just brought says that all the beds in the house you turn over.
Well, even though I thought we said it's a mazel.
No, I know, but I'm saying the way we described or defined a dargush was arsa de gada. It was a bed that we would set up and not sleep in. You're right. The reason why we would set it up was for mazel, but ultimately it was a bed. So based on this halacha that you turn over all the beds in the house, why would you not turn it over?
You want to turn over a mazel.
I mean, because it happens to be by Avelos, your mazel is not that great. I mean, that's the halacha.
Because it's a bed.
The halacha is you have to turn over all the beds, whether you want to or not. You're finished? You're asking a question?
No, I'm finished. When I stop, that means I'm done.
Okay.
What was it? Moshe said, Kivacha Amar,
What, after you said it's tomorrow, we'll see? Tomorrow.
And I hope to see you in the future, Mr. Sam. Okay.
What we're doing is setting up. Again, we've got a general case of a Mita, whatever that is.
Yeah.
There is a subset of Mitas which you don't, you know, which is not, does not compromise, does not compromise the whole,
right,
which is a Dargish.
Yeah.
And we've also are establishing that there's another subset of Mita which is not turned over. That, again, you say that you turn over the Mitas is incorrect. There are Mitas which you do not turn over.
But I'm saying, according to the halacha of the Gemara, you turn over all beds. So how can you interpret Dargish as referring to some sort of bed?
It must be
if
that there is a subset which is not turned over.
Nine. But the Gemara is assuming, I'm saying, the predicate, the assumption of the Gemara's question is that all beds are turned over, and therefore if Dargish is not turned over, it can't be a bed. That's
the
Gemara's question. It's more a halachic problem.
It is the halakhic problem, correct.
We're questioning the
disagreeing with the halakhic problem,
right.
But what's being underlying, what's being defined here, is how we define.
Correct. That's correct. So the Gemara, as is halakasha, this brice is not the whole top of the Vavma Beis. Midi dehava amita ham yuchedes lekelim. As you just said, there are some beds that are not bound by this halacha or obligated in kriyas hamita, such as a mita, which you use for to place to store your dishes, the ancient version of a break front. They had some, you know, beds in those days, either beds or couches, and they would store their dishes over there, the pottery over there. Yes, let's catch up with the rushes. Says the rush. Kol ha'am ha'marvin oisai ha'hu yoyma that day sheyesh loy lehisnag b'achno ubenezifos yosef alei. So the day that he was meant to conduct himself with Hachno and the Zifus, he would sit on it. In other words, the day that he's in Avilus, he's meant to conduct himself in a certain manner, which did not bespeak royalty or pomp, but rather the opposite.
It's not turned over at that point. When he's sitting on it, people are saying Menachem Avilin.
For the Melech, there was no such din. But for the regular Ravel, right, we're talking about a Melech on this mission, no?
Well, he's sitting on it.
For somebody, the Melech didn't conduct himself with all the regular dinim of Avelos. So for him, there was no such halacha. Of Kfiyas Hamita, turning over the bed.
He never had.
No. There's the same way Melech doesn't have to sit on the ground.
Dargo?
Yeah, Dargish, yeah. He was sitting on Dargish.
Dargish is different than
a Dargo? Dargo? Where do you have Dargo?
Dargish,
yeah. Okay, so Dargish, says the Rosh, they would leave it upright. In other words, they wouldn't turn it over. The Rosh says, don't say, the Ein Lefayr, don't interpret, explain Zoykfai to mean Al-Tida, you turn it over on its side. In other words, you could have said that Zoykfai means you don't turn it upside down completely, you just turn it over on its side. He says, don't say that's what it means, Dimkain, because if that was the correct interpretation, Havalei Lameimar, the Gemara should have said, Zoykfai, the Braisa should have said, Zoykfai Vidayoi. Zoykfai, and that's enough. In other words, Vidayoi implies you have to do something, just don't have to turn it over the whole way. But the Mishnah doesn't say, the Braisa doesn't say that, implying you have to do anything. Come on, Gabi Mita, like we say by a Mita, Shanakli Tel Yotin, like a bed with posts that obviously you couldn't turn over upside down because of the posts. So there it says turn it over on its side, Vidayoi. Here it does not say Vidayoi, implying that you don't have to do anything to it, just leave it the way it is. Avoid Lekamon, and another, furthermore, Lekamon later on, Nicha, by a four post bed, or a two post bed, makes sense that you'd have to turn it over on its side. Because Shemin Hadin, because really, strictly speaking, according to the Halacha, really, you needed to turn it over completely. Rather, there's just a problem and the practicalities of it that you're not able to. Elisheinu Yochol ben Pianak Leitzin, because of the post, Hakvuimbo, that are embedded within the bed. Aval Hacha, but over here, Yichve. You turn it over, imi tu'una kfiya, if it requires kfiya, imena tu'una lamaterach lazaykva. And if it doesn't require kfiya, Dargash, why should you have to turn it on its side? So there's no reason to say over here that Zoykfa means turn it over on its side. Either you're mechuyev in Dinkfiyas Hamita, in which case you have to do it the whole way, or you're not, and then you have to do anything. So that's how the Rosh interprets the term Zoykef by Dargish, as opposed to the Zkifa we're going to see later on by a bed with posts. Okay, says the Gemara in above the days. So the Gemara answer is that really Dargish means Arsa the Gadol. So your question was, well, then if it's really a bed, so how come you don't have to flip it over? The Gemara says because it's no different than a mita hamyuchadas lekelim, a bed which is designated for the storage of dishes. The Tanya lo'gilin de Braisa im hoisa mita hamyuchadas lekelim. If it was a bed which was designated for storage of dishes, in sorach lechvoisa, you don't have to turn it over. In other words,
no,
the kfiyas hamita is talking about regular people, common people. There's a halacha of kfiyas hamita. By regular people. And the Gemara now is answering and explaining that although we said in the Braisa that all beds in the house have to be turned over, those are beds which even if in practice they're not being used for sleeping, but in theory they would be used for sleeping. But a bed which mitchila was only set up for the purpose of something other than sleeping, that would not be required, would not be obligated in Kfiyas Hamita. So the Gemara says, okay, Ela'i Kasha, if we have a difficulty with Ula's interpretation of Dargush, it's the following. Ha-Kasha, here's a difficulty. The Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Shem Gamliel says, Dargish Matar Karbitov, who noifel me'elov. So a Dargish, your Matar Karbitov, so the Karbitov, the Rosh explains, are the hooks with which you would tie the sleeping part to, like the mat that they would sleep on, they would erect with utilizing these hooks that were tied around the frame of the bed. So v'hunefel me'elov. So what you do by a dargush instead of turning it over is you basically release the mat that you sleep on from being tied to the frame of the bed. V'hunefel me'elov, and it falls on its own. So the Gemara asks the dargush arsa de godo. If dargush is what you explained to me in arsa de godo, karbitin miyisle, they don't have hooks. So it seems like the Gemara understood that a dargish was made like a regular bed. A regular bed did not have these hooks that would hold the mattress or mat in place. So how can you, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, say that a dargish you would release or untie its hooks and then it would just fall on its own? That would not be applicable to a dargish, which was made like a regular bed.
The thing about Yuchenis Lekalim is we took care of that, right?
Yes.
That's the answer
to that question, right? So now the Gemara is asking a new question. We find another Braisa, which talks about a dargish when it comes to Avelos, instead of turning it over, you undo the hooks and then let the mat fall to the floor. So the Gemara is asking, but a dargish was made like a regular bed. Regular beds didn't have these hooks.
No, I'm saying, but you learned, like, is this a kasha on Yuchenis Lekalim also?
No. The question before was, why would you not do Kfiyas Hamita? So the Gemara says, because it's like mita am Yuchenis Lekalim.
Good. Now,
it doesn't require Kfiyas Hamita.
We have two prices that are.
Oh, you're saying so the second price is not like the first, but that's what you're asking. This is Shimon Gamliel. Yeah, no, Hanami. There's not a stam price. So Tanakama of the price of hell that. Oh, that's your point. Okay, I see what you're saying. Right. In other words, the price before seemed to understand that a dargush does not require any form of Kfiyas Hamita whatsoever because it's not designated for sleeping. Shimon Gamliel seems to say, no, there is some form of Kfiyas Hamita, not the regular kind of Kfiyas Hamita, but you have to do something which is undoing the hooks and allowing the mat to fall to the...
Yeah,
the mat
talking about a dargish anymore.
What?
I'm not sure. The Mita Mikhasu Kalim.
Yeah.
Is that by definition what a dargish is?
No, we're just saying that a dargish is similar in halacha to a Mita Mikhasu Kalim in that you don't require any, it doesn't require any Kfiyas Hamita.
Dargush that
before
he sleeps on.
No. So dargush we initially said is something you don't sleep on. You just put there for good luck.
Okay.
So then we ask, well, why don't you have to turn it over when it comes to avelos? We ask because it's no different than in concept. It's no different than amita hamyuchedas lekelim.
Sitting or sleeping?
No, that's the point. In other words, just like amita hamyuchedas lekelim. No. Just like amita hamyuchedas lekelim, you never sleep on, and therefore does not require kli samita. So to a dargush, which was set up, it's set up like a regular bed, but you don't sleep on it. So since you don't sleep on it, it's not meant for sleeping, it does not require Kfiyas Hamita. You're right. In appearance, it looks like a regular bed. And you could theoretically have the exact same piece of furniture in somebody else's house that they would sleep on. But when we say dargush, we're defining dargush as something that in your home you set up not to be slept on, only for good luck. Yeah. Does that make sense?
I think I had lost some. In other words, dargush you never sleep on.
A dargush is a bed that's set up that you never sleep on.
Never
so therefore, the Gemara says,
it's
used for good luck.
Good luck.
So Kalim is just an illustration of a similar concept. It's not what a dargush is, but it's a similar concept of a bed that's not used for sleeping. And therefore, you don't require tefillin. Even the Sotu Dagger doesn't require tefillin. Yeah, I see you're not into good luck stuff. I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
I think that the problem we're running into is exactly what I said earlier, is we're using, you know, rather than Kasnev and Kurska also are using the term bed, and the term bed is not right.
What, do you have a more correct term?
No, I don't. I said it's not translatable. I think we would do much better saying mita.
And mita, okay. Does everybody know what a mita is?
Yes.
Okay. So if, with your permission, I can use the word mita from now on, and wink, wink, you know what mita better than. I'm just kidding. Yeah, yeah. Well, we use the term mita.
When I say to someone else, a bed, that means to them in English, something on which people sleep.
Right.
We obviously have two cases.
Right, right.
In which that is definitionally not the case.
Well, no, sir. Okay, we could discuss this afterwards, but I we'll use the term mita. To try to make everybody happy, we'll use the term mita. Yeah.
Hold on a second.
If they know what mita is, okay.
Yeah.
Rabbi Yisai, is everybody comfortable with me using the term mita? Okay. Yeah.
In the Mefarshim that you saw, did you see anyone suggest that part of the problem we're running into here is we're dealing with two big regions, one is Babel and one is Eretz Israel.
Right.
We're also dealing with many smaller regions like Pumptis and Sura and such like that.
Which are part of Babel.
Which are in Babel as well as many different regions of Galil and Yehuda in Eretz Israel. And as we have seen in many other places, there are different terms for the same thing or the same term is used differently
in
various regions. And that would seem to be an easier explanation of what we're doing right now.
The only problem with that is, if that was true, the Gemara certainly would have, I think, suggested that.
Well, that's why I'm asking, do any of them force
them? No.
I have no control.
No, not to the best of my knowledge. I would say that Daphne and Vof and Adarim happens to be a Daphne and Adarim, which is rather sparse on the Farshim. It's not one of those prokem that, you know, the yeshivas learned to be in. So, you know, the svarim that you have on Daphne Vav and Adarim, or, you know, it's not like you have a typical yeshiva svarim, but, to the best of my knowledge, nobody suggests that. Shalom and Adarim, I'm saying, but, you know, okay. Says the Gemara. So, the Idargish Arsa the Godahu Kabit and Miyazlai. Idargish doesn't have hooks. Ki Osa Rovin. So when Robin came from Eretz Yisrael, so here's that geographic factor that you mentioned. So Omar, Robin says, Rabbi Yisrael, I know the answer over here. She'ilte lahumi rabbonon v'raf tachlifa bar shemei. I asked a certain Talmud Chacham. His name was Rav Tachlifa bar Marava. So why did I ask him specifically? No, because he had some special unique experience over here. That was shchiach b'shuka detzale. He used to hang around the tanner's marketplace where they worked with the leather. So he had expertise in this stuff. Recently, they asked Avraham Lopiansky, so should you go ask a Rav about taking a vaccine? So he said, ask a Rav, ask a doctor. He said, Das Torah, this Rav Lopiansky said, he said, Rabbeinu Shmuel Zaydim, he said, Das Torah, it refers to Inyanim and Halacha and Hashkafa. He said, something which is a Messias, if you have, somebody comes to you and tells you, oh, by the way, your house is really teetering. I mean, it's very bad. You should speak to somebody about it, what to do. So who do you go to ask about how to fix your house? An engineer or a Rav? You go to an engineer. Because a Rav doesn't have experience in engineering necessarily. A Rav might ask somebody who has experience in engineering, and then he might be able to simulate whatever chachma he has and tell you what to do. But when it comes to questions of Metzias, Avraham Lopiansky said, you speak to the person who has knowledge of that Metzias, and that's what a Rav would do also. Somebody has no knowledge in medicine and say, oh, I asked Astara, and they said this drug is bad for you. How do they know? So similarly over here, the Gemara is saying that Rav Tachlifa bar Marava, he didn't say, well, I know what a dargish is of my das tar. I'm sure Rava had more digga das tar. He asked the people who work with leather, and they know what a dargish is.
So the anti-vaxxers have some kind of medical reason.
I'm just sharing with you. I don't want to get into a whole discussion. I'm just sharing with what Van Lopiansky said. Yeah, that's, you know. Okay, so. Says the Gemara. So, v'amrli, my dargish arsa ditzala. So I asked somebody who works with these items, and he told me that argish is arsa ditzala. What's an arsa ditzala? We have a rush over here. Arsa ditzala, mita shor. It was a bed made from leather, animal skin. Lefi shor miskalkel b'noga baretz. And now, if you would flip the bed over meaning the sleeping part of the bed, the mat, you flip it over, it would be against the ground, that would ruin it. It would be bad for the leather. So Chazal exempted such a bed from Kviyas Hamita if it would result in the bed getting damaged or being rendered unusable.
That was unique.
It was unique, right. And so now the Gemara is changing its definition, and we're saying that a Dargish is an Arsa. Well, no, it's not necessarily the same definition, no. They're just saying it's made from leather, and therefore, because it's made from leather, that's why...
Well, regular beds may
have. I don't know, straw.
Could have been anything but leather.
Right, exactly. And so it wouldn't have been damaged by flipping it over, exactly. So the Gemara does seem to be changing its definition now. It's falling off of Ula's definition. The Mefarish says we're talking about a bed that people sleep on. Okay? And that's a bed which has hooks. The Ran, he understands Ar says it's solely, he says it's a mita shal ar. He explains that they would hold it up, they would erect it with straps that they'd wrap around the frame. Yeah, I mean, what's that? But I'm saying the Gemara seems to be falling off its original definition, right? That seems to. I'm sorry.
It also mentions that the top of the bed are low, so that they will, when you turn it upside down,
yeah,
it will touch.
It was right.
Right. A little bit higher post.
Mm-hmm. There was like a buffer between the actual mat, right? Yeah. The Gemara fell off its original. Now it's calling it Dargish Arsa the Tzol, not Arsa the God. It's not that bed that was made for luck. It was a bed that would actually sleep on. But because of the material it was made from, they exempted you from Kfiyah. Now we are changing the definition. And we're changing the definition with the help of an Amor who came from Eretz Yisrael. But he didn't say that was... He didn't say because in Eretz Yisrael, they call it. He just said he spoke to somebody who's a Mumcha, and this is what this Mumcha told me. Yeah, it's mashma that this was a definition they had both in Eretz Yisrael and in Bavel, but it's funny. After you made that comment, we saw the Gemara say Kiyosa Rovin from Eretz Yisrael. He told. Very good. Itmar says the Gemara, Izehu Mita. What is a Mita Izehu Dargish? What's the difference between a Mita and a Dargish? So the Gemara is assuming there's some difference over here. Why? Because I don't know. Why would we call it something different otherwise? If there was no fundamental difference, we would call it a mita also. I'm just pointing out, the Gemara starts off with an assumption, what's a mita, what's a dargish? Who says there is a difference? Now that we just explained that a dargish is also something you sleep on, why does it have to be a difference between them? No, I understand, but who says that's a meaningful difference in terms of the term? So that, part of the Gemara is assuming that, because why would we call it a different term than a regular mita? There are different mitas that are made from different materials. The fact that it was made from leather doesn't necessarily mean you have to call it something else.
We don't turn it over, I thought.
That's just because it was made from a different material. But I'm just saying, when the Gemara is now going to get into what are the actual differences between a mita and a dargish. I'm just asking a simple question. Who said there are any? Right? The Gemara is coming in with an assumption without telling us how it arrived at that assumption. So I'm saying, Pasha, because otherwise we wouldn't call it a different word. We would be called a mita if there was no fundamental difference. The fact that we have a different term for it obviously was a fundamental difference. I don't know what those fundamental differences are. Yeah.
We've already stated that they are different.
How?
We have stated that not all mitas are dargish, and therefore they...
We stated not all mitas are dargish? Where do we say that?
Not all mitas are dargish.
With regards to what? Where do we say that?
Maybe I'm making it up. Dargish is included in the term bed, which...
Regarding the Chachamim, you're saying?
Yeah, exactly.
From the Mishnah. Mishnah says...
That Mita and Dargish are not...
According to the Chachamim, who say that a Dargish is Bechlal Mita, but when you make a Neder from a Dargish, you're Mutar B'Mita.
Right. So definitionally...
Yeah, I'm saying, but that's because of the fact that they're called different things.
Well, not because of the fact that they're different.
But you see that in the Mishnah also.
Yeah. Language which works.
Yeah, that's true. You're right.
If we don't, then this would not be a question.
No, you are correct. You're right. You see that in the Mishnah already. You're right. Thank you. Itmar zeh mita v'zeh dargish. What's a mita? What's a dargish? Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah mita misarginas al gabo. So mita, they would take the ropes with which they would erect the mat. And they would tie the ropes over the frames of the bed, the frame of the bed. A dargish, what they would do is the frame actually had holes in it, and you would stick the rope or whatever it was into the holes of the frame itself and tie it. So it was whether you tie it over the frame or through the frame. That's the Gemara saying the difference is. So basically, the Gemara challenges this. We have a Mishnah in Maseches Kelim, which states as follows. A wooden utensil, me'imosa me'kabon tumah. At what point in its construction or development and creation does it become susceptible to tumah? So hamita varis, a bed or a cradle, mishi yashufan be'or hadog, from when you smear them, you rub them down with the skin of a fish. In other words, that's what they would use to smooth it out. Like a skin of a fish was good for like sanding something down. So when you do that, that's considered the finishing touch on the piece, the mita or the cradle, and once that happens, now it's considered a finished item and is thus susceptible to tumah. The imita mistareges al gaba, but if a mita is something that you take the ropes and you tie it over the aruchos hamita, over the frame, so the frame wouldn't even be visible. So the imita mistareges al gaba, lo mali shivas or hadag, it's covered. Why do you need to sand it down to make it look nice? It's not something which is even visible. More assume that when you say you take the ropes and tie it over the aruchos, it means it would cover up the entire frame. I don't know what this is, because you had a lot of ropes. So since it wouldn't be visible, what would the purpose in sanding it down be? The aesthetics there were not really...
Why is this
because the idea of using the fish skin to sand it down was to make it look nice. But if it's something which wasn't visible, what do you care if it looks nice or not?
If it's not visible, what are you sleeping on?
No, the frame is not visible, meaning the ropes, you have the mat in the middle, the ropes would come out of the mat, and you tie them over the frame of the bed.
And you went to the frame.
Exactly. So then what would the purpose in sanding it down, but you don't see it? Okay, so I guess the Gemara never met a Hungarian bubby, was? I mean, a Hungarian bubby, what kind of question is that if you don't see it? It still has to look nice. Far shyly, though. Okay, says the Gemara. Oh, yes, let's do the rush, yes, thank you. So I guess we didn't see the first couple ones in Amid. Midi dehavo, amita miyachodas lekelim, vahoda aminon, that which we say, shekoifin kol amita, is hanamita miyachodas leshiva, leyeshiva. The beds which you say that require kfir are beds which are designated for lying down and sleeping, or sleeping and sitting on. Dargesh matar kabita v'lulois are the hooks, shehu kosherba, which are tied to it. V'shugah de galdoi de tzaloi retzonim habekimim lechasor, tanners who were very proficient in all sorts of leather and what to do with it. Arsha de tzolo, mita shalor is a bed made from leather, ulfisha ar miskalka b'noga b'aretz. Since the skin becomes ruined when it touches the ground, patru mikfir chazal exempted you from turning it over. Misagas algaba algafu aruchos, they would tie the ropes over on top of the frame. Misagas amitocha mechabru la aruchos hamita, they would tie it to the aruchos hamita through the holes. Misheyashufim b'or hadog lahachlikam, to smooth it down the frame. V'oz, and when that happens, nigmarum alachtum, the work of creating this bed, building this bed is completed, lekabotum. As we know regarding tumah, a kli only becomes susceptible to tumah once it had gemar malocha, once it was complete, once it was finished. So the Mishnah is explaining what the stage of finishing by a bed is called. That's when you finish sanding it down with a fish skin. The next rush, lama lishifas or hadog, why do you need this fish skin? V'haloi aruchas mechusas besrigi hamita, they're covered, so what do you care how it looks? Okay, says the Gemara.
So
yeah.
The same thing, other than the way they're put together?
That's the thing we're
saying,
yes.
Both used for sleeping?
Yeah. Yeah, one is leather, but the fact that one's leather is not a significant enough difference to call it a different term. But it's how they're made, meaning one's over, one's through, that's what warrants calling it a different term. Yeah, so it seems that because of how it was made, it was considered a different entity. It was called a different term. And thus, with Nedarim, you look at Lashon B'nei Adam. So if people call it something different, then it wouldn't be included.
I think it's a big difference in the way to make sure.
Right, I'm not a bucky in beds. Certainly not in beds of Mir Chazal, yeah. But apparently Chazal felt that was... But I'm not even sure it has to be of a significant difference. The fact is, again, the Nedarim is Lashon B'nei Adam. If people considered it different, they did. So it wasn't included in the term of Mita. Why do people consider it different? Kashaf of Maisa. It doesn't have to have a halachic explanation. It's just that's how people looked at them. It's two different things.
You want to have an English because what's the difference in the law from the Jew? Shoes are a general
category, and
the
clothes are
not called shoes
for lovers.
So if you make a
netter, not
the
wearing a clothes,
you can mostly.
Right, Lachara. Okay, let's see the Gemara. We have to finish up, let's see the Gemara a little further. So the Gemara answers, Elohavaham the Gufan. Really, you have to say both, you tie through the holes in the frame. as opposed to what we said earlier. So we're falling off of the last understanding we just had of the difference. And the difference is as follows. A new explanation. Mita aule v'afuke b'vzine. So mita aule afuke, you would bring the ropes in and out through holes, the Rosh says, in the frame. And the dargish that aule v'afuke b'afkosa. Dargish, you would tie it through hooks. Similar to what we said earlier. So the Gemara is slightly modifying the difference between a mita and a dargish. Instead of going, previously we said the difference was going over versus going through. Now we're saying the difference is going over versus tying it through hooks. That's the difference the Gemara is saying now. Amr Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha said the name of Rabbi, mita shenakletel yoytzin. A mita that has posts coming up from it, which obviously would prevent you from turning it upside down. So zoykfa v'dayu, you turn it on its side and that suffices. Amr Yaakov Bar Idi, Amr Shub Ben Levi, Halacha Yom Shem Gamliel, Halacha Yom Shem Gamliel, that a dargish, all you have to do is, now that we finally concluded in line with Shem Gamliel's explanation, that a dargish, one of its defining features is that the ropes are tied through the hooks, meaning that it has hooks, as opposed to what we thought earlier, it didn't have hooks, now we're saying it does have hooks, so the Halacha Yom Shem Gamliel, that you have to just undo the hooks, release them, and that suffices, you don't have to actually turn it on its side even for Kiyas Hamita. Should we continue or? Well, we stop at 50. Okay, okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Yashar Kaya. Thank you, Rabbi Isai.
Shkaya.
Okay, have a wonderful day, everybody. Should be all debenched.